Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody this beautiful fall morning? Let's try that again. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Maybe I talked too long. So my name's Ryan Story, so I'm actually the family pastor here at the River. So it's a fancy way of just saying I work with all of our teams that work with our nursery, with our kids ministry, with our students, our young adults. So it's a blessing to always just be able to see young people, next generation, kind of joining the church, being a part of the church, sitting in gatherings. It's actually one of my favorite things ever. But I'm not Pat. So to give you guys a little bit of a story, some of you may know, some of you may not, but on Thursday, myself and Pastor Caleb were actually setting up chairs for our Jeremy Camp concert that we were having there. So again, Jeremy Camp gets a standing ovation. But I'm sitting there with Caleb. We're making sure all the seats are taken care of, and Pastor Pat calls Caleb. And he says, hey, we're going to the hospital because they're actually going to be inducing Jasmine soon. So for the time being, Pastor Caleb looked up at me. He's like, hey, you're going to Walled Lake on Sunday. And I was like, praise God, I love it. Again, be ready in season and out of season with a defense of the gospel. So, but for you guys to know, Pat actually texted us this morning. Him and Jasmine were able to welcome a beautiful baby boy by the name of Cade Uriah. So he's here, he's doing good. But again, that's something to give up, in my opinion. But I asked Pat, I was like, hey, like, dude, as the shepherd, as the pastor of Walled Lake, like, what can I kind of tell the people of Walled Lake? And he's like, hey, just ask them to be praying for us, be praying for him, be praying for your Cade, and be praying for Jasmine. So as they recover and as they're kind of getting used to this, they're very grateful for the prayers, but that's just basically what he was asking for. So for me, I got to switch one things up, though. I feel really, really far away from everybody. There we go. Now I'm like, I am so far away from everybody. You might have taken a little row out since last time I was here. But for me, again, it's a blessing to be here. But as we continue through our Romans series, it is honestly just a pleasure to be able to preach God's word in absence of, honestly, an awesome, awesome family. So again, I've loved watching what God has done in Jasmine's life. So Jasmine showed up to Burton one day when I was a Burton location pastor. And I actually found out when Jasmine and Pat were talking, I was like, oh, man, she's leaving soon. But she's a good woman, and she makes a great pastor's wife. And Pat, honestly, is doing an awesome job as a pastor. So it's a privilege to be able to fill in for the pulpit for my friend. But for us today, let's pray, and let's see what God has for us this morning. So Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, just first off, thank you for Pat and Jasmine, Lord, and just, Lord, you ultimately welcoming in just a bundle, a miracle, a new life, Lord. We know that you are creator, Lord. You know you are sustainer, Lord. But Lord, we lift up Pat and Jasmine. We lift up Cade, Lord. We pray that ultimately you be with them, Lord. We know that you have been knitting that little one before we even knew it, Lord. But Lord, we lift up them. We pray you be with them. Lord, allow us just to be able to bless them and love them and welcome them and help them be a new family. But for us today, Lord, allow us to be able to focus on you. Lord, whatever distractions, Lord, as we already prayed a little bit earlier, whether we're in the mountaintop or in the valley, Lord, you are the same God. Lord, the gospel is true, whether we're high or whether we're low, Lord, the gospel is true, whether or not we're doing great or whether we're doing poor today. But Lord, today I pray for every single one of us, we focus on you, Lord, so we can grow in our relationship with you. So Christ, we love you, and Lord, we pray this all in your beautiful name. Amen. So, for me, I always love Septembers, and I love Januarys. Now, for me, it's about weather. So I like when the weather starts getting cold. Yes, I'm a Michigander. That's one of my favorite things because you actually can wear clothes that are comfortable and they're heavy, and it just feels nice. So I love September because you start seeing the leaves turning. I love January too because ultimately it's freezing outside, and man, that's when I'm in like a game because again, like you rock a hoodie and like doesn't matter what it is. If you rock a hoodie, you just look nice. And some of you are like, I like this guy. I understand what this guy is talking about. But also what I love about January and I love about September is we, for the most part here at the River Church, is we try to focus on our vision. So you see it kind of like on the little things, those little mirror things in the back lobby. You'll hear it whenever we preach, but we talk about reaching the world with the gospel. That's the number one thing that a church has to do. In my opinion, that is the most essential thing, that if you call yourself followers of Jesus Christ, if you are a church, if you are truly, truly, truly preaching the good news of our Savior, the good news that Jesus Christ died on a cross for all of humanity's sins, and then he didn't stay dead because he rose again in victory 3 days later, and because putting our faith, our trust, our lives in Jesus' hands, we will be saved, we will be repurposed, we will be made new. We will be rescued from death, and we will be made glorious, living in his light, and we will be living life. I love that we start with reaching the world, because that's so important. So when we do things like, again, the baby pantry, when we do things like trunk or treat, as Pastor Josh was talking about, doing things like the widows and the single mother's oil change, we're not doing it just to do a program. We're not just doing it to do a good deed. Why do we do it? Because it gives us the opportunity to be able to teach people, tell people, proclaim people, love people to seeing the realness of Christ. I love that that's where our church starts. Because then we want to take people from being lost and we want to bring them together. And we talked about this a little bit last week. Like, what we are doing here matters. It's not just I'm going to church. That's why we don't say just come to church. No, we say gather. Gather with the saints. Why is it what we do here matters? Because honestly, what we do here matters because, again, you're here and there's somebody who needs your smile. There's somebody who needs your encouragement. There's somebody who needs your handshake. There's somebody who needs you, for you to be able to look at them and say, good morning. Because let's be honest with all of us. Sometimes you just need somebody to encourage you. Sometimes you just need to feel like you belong somewhere. And that's why I absolutely love gathering them, because when Jesus puts it, say, hey, we need to gather together. I love it because, again, it's bringing people together. That's what Jesus does. But then this last thing that he brings up is grow. And we need to grow in God's word. And a lot of times I think when churches talk about visions, like it can seem so markety. It can seem so like upper echelon visionaries sitting in a corporate boardroom with a dry erase board, and they're just putting fancy words on a dry erase board until they figure something out that sticks. And that's not what we do here at the River Church. What we do is we take the Great Commission. If you got your Bibles, we're going to jump to Matthew chapter 28 really quick. But in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. I like that emphasis because, again, who is in control? Jesus. It's not us. The illusion of control is very, very fleeting to us sinful people because we think we have it. We think we understand. We think we can actually make an influence on this world. Now, God does use us to make influential decisions, and we can help people. But the reality is, who's really directing the pen? It's God. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, and I love this. Because with all authority, that everything that happens from all time, Jesus says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations. That's that reach part. Hey, you need to go into the world. You need to go make disciples. What does it mean to make a disciple? You talk to them about Jesus. You come alongside of them and you teach them. But he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So that's that gather part, because when we baptize, what are we all here for? We're publicly proclaiming we believe in Christ. Now, I don't want to assume that everybody knows Christ. I don't want to assume that everybody's saved. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I would love to be able to talk to you about that. I don't like assuming just because a group of people show up. Like, if you generally are like, I still have some questions. I don't quite understand why God would love me so much and send his perfect son to die on a cross for me. If you still got some questions, if you still got, those are okay. Bring those up. But what do we do when we get together, when we gather? We're publicly professing. What is baptism? It's a public profession. We're seeing that public profession of the realness of God. But for us today, we're really going to be focusing on grow, where Jesus says, make sure that you're teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So what is Jesus saying? Everything I taught, everything that I modeled, everything that I showed you guys, I want you guys to make sure that you're teaching that. Hey, you've observed it, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. So hey, you need to make sure that you're taking this relationship and you're sending it forward. So for me, like, I love all things grow because I love Bible questions. I love answering questions. I love when every once in a while at a high school camp, middle school camp, what we'll do is we'll actually, like, put, like, a question and answer box in front of the kids and be like, hey, if you got questions for Pastor Ryan, feel free to put any question you want to ask him about life, theology, the Bible, and Ryan will do his best to answer it. And honestly, like, I love it because you get real gritty answer, real gritty questions. Like, kids want to know truth. And I believe that to be true about most society too. And one of my favorite things about these high school kids is they're willing to actually ask these questions. Because I think sometimes as adults, what do we start thinking? Well, I can't ask those questions because then somebody might think I'm not as smart. I can't ask those questions because, you know what? Somebody might actually think that I should have learned that at one point. No, it's always important for us to be able to answer questions, for us to always go back to the scriptures to learn that. So again, I love all things grow because I love those questions. I enjoy talking with people about what they're learning and what they're growing. My wife and I constantly, like, she'll wake up and she's very, very, she's probably better at this than I am, but she's always reading her devos and she'll always come up to me and ask me a question. Hey, when the Bible says this, when Jesus says this, what are they really talking about? Well, hold on, let me go read it and let me go figure that out. I love growth communities. I love seeing what we do when we get people together just learning about that. But the one thing that I've always kind of gotten to, though, is while grow sounds really, really awesome, I think one of the things that can happen, though, is sometimes you can start believing that growing in your walk with God is strictly academic. It's for smart people. For people will go to Moody's and Liberty's and they'll go to school. And, man, the people who really know the Bible, man, they're the ones who got the master's in divinities and they got their master's degrees and they're the super deep theologians that can turn around and ask people what their doxological views of the Trinitarian Godhead have to do with their everyday response. And you're like, I don't know those words. Yeah, sometimes neither do I. But sometimes when we make grow strictly academic, I think we miss out on that motivation of why we should be growing in our walk with God. Because I don't believe growing in your walk with God is strictly academic. Growing in your walk with God is relational. Growing in your walk with God is not academic. It's relational. So for us, when we look at grow, we can't just turn around and just say, hey, read your Bible. It's a very important thing to do. But have you ever been told, hey, I'm really struggling life, I don't know what to do, and then the pastor sits with you and says, hey, read your Bible. And you're like, okay, my marriage is like falling apart, my kids are falling apart, I don't know what to do, and you're just telling me, go read your Bible. Like, again, great answer. It's what the remedy is. It's what the medication is. It's what we should do. We should go consult the scriptures. So again, don't leave here being like, that guy said don't read your Bible. No, by no means am I saying don't read the Bible. But when you're really, really struggling, you pick up a book and you're like, what do? You're really, really struggling in life and someone's like, hey, are you involved in a growth community? And it feels like the weirdest, cheesiest ploy to just get you involved with more church programming. And it doesn't feel genuine. You're like, no, like I'm generally struggling in life. Again, my marriage is falling apart. My anxiety is taking over. Like, I just don't know what to do. And it's like, come to another program. Now, again, does that help? Yes. I genuinely believe when believers come together, Galatians 6, we bear one another's burdens. I think that is 100% needed, but going back to that, like by just saying, hey, read your Bible, but hey, come to a growth community. One of my favorite ones is when people are really trying to like grow in their walk with God. They're super struggling, like, hey, feeling really anxious. There's a lot of stress going on in my life, and then someone's just like, yeah, stop sinning. Well, duh. If I could have done that, I would have done that by now. But there's that walking that out when you're like, okay, if you're just trying to grow and it's strictly academic, if it's just I got to learn something new, we don't typically grow. But when we look at growth as relational, that's when we start seeing growth actually happen. So today, like, I really want to look at growth and how to make it personal, but I also want to make it profitable. So while we're not going to start necessarily in Romans, like I love Paul. Anytime I can read any of the Pauline epistles, I love Paul because Paul was a guy who reminds me of me, somebody who hated Christianity, Somebody was walking around saying that he was right. Someone was walking around saying he was the smartest person in the room. Someone was walking around who had passion about what he believed in. And then he realized one thing really quickly. He was so utterly wrong. And then one day Jesus showed up and changed his life. I like that story. Because that story was me. That story reminds me of me. But for Paul, for somebody who turned around and hated Jesus, persecuted the church, turned around and came to a real encounter with a real Savior, genuinely met Jesus on the road to Damascus, where he's like, hey, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Is that you, Lord? And what God did with Paul's life after that is tremendous. One of the things Paul says in the book of Philippians, and I've always loved this, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 17, says, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with you all. Likewise, you should be glad and rejoice with me. But that idea of pouring yourself out. This is Paul who's in the book of Philippians. He's sitting in a jail cell. He doesn't think tomorrow is coming. His circumstance will have won. And he will probably be put to death. That's where Paul's brain is. And he's sitting in this jail cell, and he turns around and says, hey, if I'm going to die, you know what? Guess what? I'm going to be poured out as a drink offering. This drink offering, this is that idea of just he's emptying himself out because he believes in this. But I like Paul's view here. Because he's like, I poured myself out. But I like that he says it's on my own accord. I'm doing this purposely. I didn't accidentally do this. I woke up and I purposely am pouring myself out to you all. For what? Their faith. He's not just doing something for the sake of. But again, I'm going to pour out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. I'm doing something for somebody other than myself. Man, is that a message most Christians need to hear sometimes. We do something. We inconvenience ourselves. We make sure ourselves is second. Why? Because we're pouring ourselves out. I love this as the football analogy. And again, he emptied himself out. He left it on the field. There was nothing left that Paul had. Why? Because he was making sure that the person in front of him was taken care of. The person who would go next would go in front of him. And it wasn't just like a moralistic, it wasn't just a life thing. It was for their faith. I love that Paul here is, again, he's awaiting death. But he has no regrets. I left it on the field. I did what I had to do. I said what I had to say. I poured myself out for your faith. He was talking to the church in Philippi. Paul, I knew my mission. I knew my role. I knew what I had to go do. He took the realness of go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And remember, I'm with you from this day to the end of the age. He took that realness and he poured out. I love this. He made sure that the next generation, the next group of Christians, that next person who needed to come to know Christ, whether they're old or young, had that. And that's why I say, well, when we look at this, Paul, he was a disciple maker. He was taking care of people. And one of the things that we got to always know, though, is personally, though, who did Paul take care of? Who did Paul disciple personally? So this is that back into Romans moment. I love that little hit in Philippians. But in Romans chapter 16, I've been caught up in the last verse of Romans. The last chapter just gets me because it's, what's Paul trying to land here? But what he does is he starts calling out names. He starts actually thanking a lot of people. Hey, this person. But in Romans chapter 16, verse 21, so we look at Paul when he turns around and says, I poured myself out like a drink offering. But what does he do? In Romans chapter 16, verse 21, he turns around and says, Timothy, my fellow worker, he greets you. So Paul's in jail. Paul's always sitting around. Who is Paul always constantly pouring himself into? Who is Paul constantly discipling? Who is Paul constantly making sure that there was this personal level of growth constantly happening? Now, you can take every single person in Romans chapter 16, but for me, I like Timothy. Because what you see is, one, Timothy is located in other books of the Bible. Because Timothy becomes the pastor of Ephesus, which is one of the bigger churches in the area.
Timothy gets his own like kind of like shout out in two epistles from Paul. And he's literally looking at Timothy as a young pastor, and Paul is encouraging him, hey, keep close watch on your doctrine. He's like, hey, you need to make sure you're running. Hey, don't let people despise you because you're youthful. But this is what a church is supposed to look like. This is how you're supposed to conduct yourself. And hey, man, I'm telling you to run. I love that Paul's journey with Jesus on this side of eternity had people involved in it. It wasn't just Paul growing academically. It wasn't just Paul trying to grow in big words. It wasn't Paul just trying to be able to recite things. What was Paul's most important thing? He was trying to grow, and he was growing relationally while he was growing with Christ. Because growing in Christ is not a solo game. I don't want to say you can't grow in Christ if you're not in community, because I think, again, God brings the growth. That's what we see in Corinthians. But have you ever noticed when you're really, really growing good in your walk with God, there's generally people around, people who are encouraging you, people who are helping you. It's like when the Bible says iron sharpens iron, there's people in your life who are coming alongside of you. And again, maybe you don't like the conversations that they're having, but you know it's like, man, this is that good conversation. Seeing some young people in the room, again, we definitely don't like when our parents tell us what to do. It will pay dividends. Trust me. You might not like it now. I got a 10-year-old. I'm seeing that right now. He does not understand. I'm like, hey, you got to wear jeans to church, man. You can't just rock sweatpants all the time. You got to look nice. Why do I got to look nice? I was like, because one day you're going to actually want to go to a dance with a girl and you can't show up in sweatpants, man. Why would I want to show up in sweatpants? I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, but I'm starting with my 10-year-old son that I'm trying to help him. I'm trying to see him grow. But for us, for with Paul, I love that in Paul's mind, he sees this opportunity to grow. And for me, the hang-up I see with growth is generally we're not constantly filling up and we're not constantly pouring ourselves out. So somewhere in that flow, you got to kind of be able to look at God and figure out where you're at. Because if you're here, if you're constantly filling yourself up, what's going to happen is you're going to get to a brim. You're going to get to like that spot where you can't walk anymore and you just keep trying to grow. You keep trying to go. Like, why am I hitting a roadblock? Well, because you got to go up. But in order to constantly grow, if you're being constantly filled up by Christ, if you're constantly being filled up by growth community, by people encouraging you, if you're constantly being filled up by the scriptures, you're going to get to a point where you're too full. And one of the best ways to turn around and continue to grow is then you got to pour yourself out into somebody. So I think there's two areas of what happens in growth. There's some people who just don't get themselves constantly poured into. They're not filling themselves up. Church is an extracurricular activity. We come in, and again, we came in on a gathering, and we worshiped the Lord. We did our thing. We check off our box. There's our Sunday activity, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, nothing else. To be filled up, we are constantly walking with Christ. This is why the book of Thessalonians says we pray without ceasing. But every day we should be doing something with Jesus, for Jesus, around Jesus, through Jesus. Like, we should constantly be looking at that idea. If we genuinely want to grow in our walks with Jesus, it can't just be a Sunday thing. I say it all the time. I wish I had arms like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Like, again, the dude's like ripped out of his gourd. I wish I had that physique, but I can't lift one 20-pound dumbbell one time and be like, dude, there's the guns. Like, it doesn't work. It takes constant work. It takes dedication. It takes discipline. So if you want to grow, it takes the same thing. But if you're trying to grow in your walk with God, are you constantly allowing yourself to be filled up? And I'm talking genuine filled up, not TikTok theology, not Instagram stuff. I'm talking about genuinely sitting there opening God's word and reading it, struggling through it. I can't pronounce half these people's names, but I'm still going to keep going. And if you're like, oh my gosh, he's right. Yes, because I struggle too. Also, if you want a tip, if you're ever in a Bible study, you run into somebody's name that's hard, just say whatever you think it is. Nobody will ever correct you because they're not sure either. So again, there's your heads up of the day. And moving forward, nobody will ever correct you. But with it, are you filling yourself up constantly? And I think that's a struggle for Christians. I think that's a struggle for the church. Because it takes dedication, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes, you got to look at your schedule and say, you know what, I'm going to prioritize something else. And the results are in the future. So let's be honest, none of us like future results. Again, like if working out and dieting was easy, we'd all be doing it. You see the results in the future. That's the same with your walk with God. You might not see the results the day after. Like, I'm anxious, I'm stressed out, man, my marriage is falling apart, my kids are being crazy, dear Jesus, be with me. If nothing changes on that moment, of course not. Sometimes it takes time. It takes dedication. It takes continually running after it. So I got to ask you, are you filling yourself up? Do you constantly take time into filling yourself up? But then the second thing, again, to create this flow, but do you pour yourself out? But when I say pour yourself out, well, what do I really mean? Purposely and actively actually helping somebody in their walk with God. Purposely and actively turning around and going out of your way to encourage somebody, to love them, to pray with them. Because one of the best things ever is when you actually find that person who needs encouragement, they need love. And you start seeing them grow. Because what are you doing? You're being poured into by Christ, who is an unlimited well. And in Psalms 87, it says, singers and dancers alike, all my springs are in you. Again, if you're constantly being poured into by the Holy Spirit, by Christ, by the realness of Scripture, then you start pouring yourself into others. What happens with them? Well, one, you see them start growing, and then the key is to get yourself out of the way and get them kind of closer to God. But then what happens with you? I've never heard somebody who's ever been upset serving Christ. When our hearts are in it, we're genuinely looking at, man, I get the opportunity to preach the gospel to somebody. I've never heard somebody be like, man, I'm so frustrated. I had to tell somebody that Jesus loves them. When do you see that? We're going to have trunk or treat in a couple weeks here. Again, we're going to like turn around and pack this room full of kids, full of families. We're going to invite the neighborhood out to be in here. And like, what's going to happen? Like, nobody's going to be like, man, I'm so upset people came and heard the gospel. Those chairs got moved. If we have teenagers running around in this building and one of them puts a hole in the drywall, but we had 20 teenagers here. Yes, frustrated to put a hole in the drywall, but at the same rate, we had 20 students here. There's like 10 kids over in our River Kids gathering right now. If they made noise, is somebody going to be upset? No, because they're being poured into. They're growing in their walks with Christ. So for us, I look at this, and I think we got to be able to establish, number one, who is God to you? Is God just the person who's like hanging out, and then like again, you pull him in when you need him? Or is God your everything? All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. So, man, if you want the best answer ever, go to the scriptures, go to Jesus, because he knows everything, he controls everything. But you got to look at yourself. Are you letting God pour into you? Are you going to the scriptures? Are you reading? Are you praying? Are you serving? Are you giving? Are you living obediently? But then I think one of the things that gets us more often than not, who are you pouring into? Now, parents, here's the easy one. It's your kids. If it's not your kids, start. My little 4-year-old son walked up to my wife this week, and she's doing the dishes, and he just looks up, and he's like, Mom, did you know that Jesus died for our sins? Yeah, Jed, I knew that. He's like, did you know he rose again 3 days later? Yeah, yes, son, I did that. Okay, and then he just like scampered off like every 4-year-old does. I have no idea where my son picked that truth up. I know we've talked about the gospel. I know we pray. I know we do our Awana verses. I know we do those things. But I have no idea when that idea, that truth, became a reality for him. But that's the beautiful thing about when you can identify who you're pouring into. You have no idea when it'll take off. And parents, if you're doing the things that you need to do, keep doing them. The Lord's word does not return void. It'll click at some point. We just don't get to control when. But if you're here and you're like, man, I don't know who else I can pour into. Again, this is why going to growth community is so important. There's somebody at a growth community who needs you there. God has ordained it for you to be able to be there, sit next to them and say hi. And again, God has an opportunity for you to be able to pour into that relationship. You can't think of that? There's kids right over there. We constantly always are asking two things again in the church. Hey, we'd like to get people connected. And hey, do you know this thing called the nursery? Can we get some help here? It's the constant struggle of church. Again, like I was talking to another pastor who said the two biggest grinds are preaching and the nursery ministry. And I'm like, that's actually accurate. Because again, you get done preaching and then guess what? Sunday is coming back around. You get done working with the babies and then guess what? Sunday's coming back around. But if you're ever looking to be able to pour into a little one, be able to teach them about God's truth, it's there. It's there. So for us today, as we're looking at this, we got to go back to this essential thing, though. What are we truly pouring in? Because Paul started relationally. Because he relationally knew who God was. And in Romans 8, chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "For while we were still weak at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us." That's not academic for Paul. That's relational. And because it's not academic for Paul, he wanted to make sure Timothy knew that this was not just an academic truth. This is a real truth that Jesus Christ died for everybody. And he made sure he taught Timothy that. But then we can see that while Timothy is growing up, and he grew up, and again, potentially without a dad, we don't see a dad in scriptures for Timothy, we see that, again, Paul probably had to navigate through some difficult things with Timothy. But then Paul also turns around, and in Romans 8, verses 38, it says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." It's not academic. There's relational truth. So for you, if you're looking to grow in your walk with God, are these relational truths for you? Are these strictly academic? I know that verse because I remembered it in Awana. No, these are scripture. This is God's word. Will not return void. This is God. This is the scriptures that are powerful, that are so powerful that it can separate bone from marrow, flesh from soul. Like again, this is God's ordained word that'll stay true for all of eternity. But if we're trying to grow, is this a relational truth for you that Jesus Christ loves you so much that he died for you? And if that's the one truth you continue to allow just continue to grow. Continue to grow. You'll keep growing in your relationship with him. But then there's that tricky thing. When you're pouring out to somebody, is that what you're pouring out? Or do you pour out moralism or behavior modification? Because again, it'd be really easy for us parents sometimes to turn around and be like, Jesus wants you to obey me. It's true. Jesus wants you to have a clean room. Not so much. But some of you are like, oh my gosh, that's happened to me in my life. But for us, we got to look, what are we genuinely pouring into people? Is it just academic? Is it just preference? Is it moralism? Or is it genuinely the realness of our relationship with Christ? And I think that's one of those things, again, like, you know, fathers, I want to challenge you. Fathers, that's one of the most important things for you to be able to show your wife, for you to be able to show your kids, for you to be able to show the congregation. Like, again, men genuinely worship is the most important thing to be able to see. And that's not trying to undercut any type of woman who's worshiping, anything like that. But, man, a dad showing the realness of who Jesus is, oh, it's beautiful. But for us today, I want to challenge you. If you're looking to grow in your walk with God, a lot of us will always go, I got to fill myself up from Jesus. Yeah, you do. But you got to fill up, and then you got to pour out. If you're trying to grow in your walk with God, if you want to fill up, you got to then pour out. Because in Psalm 23, where it says, again, you prepared a table before me, and you, in the presence of my enemies, you anointed my head. And I love this aspect. Again, Psalm 23 says, my cup overflows. For those of you who are looking to grow in your walk with God, those of you who know Christ, like for parents, I really want to push this. For husbands, I really want to push in this. For couples to really push into this. Again, if you genuinely want to see that abundance, that overflow, that what Jesus has for you, if you genuinely want to see what it looks like when you genuinely grow, this is where I do come back to it. Growing's not academic. It's relational. So while I said they weren't the prescription, we do have some awesome things like growth communities here on Wednesday. If you're hearing, like, but I got a kid. Yeah, guess what? We have this thing called Awana that's running parallel to our growth community. So you can drop your kids off and you can go grow. We have adult growth communities that meet across the board. If you can't find one on a certain day, again, I guarantee we can find different days of the week. Growth communities are so important. For you, reading your Bible every single day. One of the most important things you possibly can do. But my challenge for you today, very simple. If you're genuinely looking to grow in your walk with God, if you're here and you know Christ as your Savior, keep filling yourself up. Stay constant. Stay consistent. Stay dedicated. But then when you got a chance, if you're too full and you realize you hit that wall, maybe it's time for you to find a person that you can fill up. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, just thank you for who you are. Lord, thank you for your love, your grace. Lord, thank you that you're merciful. But Lord, for us, as we're trying to navigate this side of eternity, Lord, we praise you for giving us your word. Lord, we glorify you for having everything in control. But Lord, as we're trying to figure this out, Lord, I pray that we never forget to grow in a relationship with you. Lord, I pray that we never make the truths that are found in the Bible just academic or, Lord, apologetic. Lord, I pray that we just allow your scriptures just to change us from the inside out. But, Lord, there's so many people that probably need a Paul in our lives. Lord, please give us the eyes. Give us the heart. Give us the love for one another, Lord, where we genuinely want to seek each other out and pour the goodness, pour the truth that we have received from you, to pour that real relationship that we received to you, Lord, into other people. Lord, help us be loving, help us be kind, but Lord, allow us to continue to grow in likeness and indeed looking more like you. So Jesus, as we come back to worship you, Lord, I pray that we ultimately are able to know that you're good, and Lord, we are all moving closer to you. So Christ.